Hallelujah. You know, sometimes things are just a challenge. You ever have any challenges? And in the midst of those challenges, what you have to try to do is to meet the challenge. You rise up and you meet the challenge. Well, we started off today. I was a little physically challenged. And so I thought, well, you know, that'll be fine. Well, we got to church and I had forgotten that their sound man, or I don't know if I even knew that he wasn't going to be here this morning. Well, that's no big thing. I'm used to that. But I got back there and that board absolutely did not want to do anything I wanted it to. It just had a mind of its own. Well, the other day we bought a whole big bag of batteries. This morning we can't find them. Another challenge. So we don't know where they are. We've looked everywhere. We even used some of them Friday. But for some reason or other, between Friday and now, they have just managed to hide themselves. Or somebody has hid them and we don't know where. But the Word of God is the truth. And I am going to minister this morning. I'm going to preach a sermon. And I have probably the shortest amount of scripture that you're ever going to see me have. I have one verse. And it's Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. If you've been with us the last month, you've heard this one before. It's this: have I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. Now, I preached a message a couple, 3 weeks ago on the truth. Understanding the truth and relating to the truth and how the truth will set us free. And then I preached a message a couple of weeks ago on our enemy, knowing our enemy, becoming aware of what our enemy's doing. And so I'm thinking about this week and I'm meditating on it. And the Lord said, I want you to finish that verse. I said, as far as I'm concerned, it's finished. He said, no, there's one thing in there you haven't talked about. You talked about your enemy, you talked about the truth, but you haven't talked about, I tell you. I tell you. So if you want to title this message this morning, let's call it To Tell the Truth. Now, have you understood in the Word of God that we are called to tell? That we have a commission to tell? Go into all the world and tell. Many times in Scripture, it talks about telling. We have a song here that we sing it around Christmas time, Go Tell It on the Mountain, that Jesus Christ is born. So, do you know what a preacher is? A preacher is someone that tells. We're all called to be preachers. We're all preachers of the gospel. We are all people that tell. We tell something to someone. And the important thing is that we understand who it is we're talking to, who it is we're telling, and what it is we're telling them. And there's at least four objects of our telling. And we're going to look at those this morning and share with you for a little while in that area. The first area of people, or first area, or the object of telling, is the world. Now, when I'm talking about the world, I'm talking about humanity. I'm talking about the world that's saved. I'm talking about the world that's lost. I'm talking about the people in the world. Now, when it comes down to talking about the people that do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the people of the world that do not have a connection with God, what are we to tell them? We're supposed to tell them something. And we get sometimes really carried away telling them stuff. And sometimes the stuff that we tell them, we shouldn't have told them. And some of the things that we should tell them, we don't. What do I tell the world? What is it my responsibility to tell to people that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it my responsibility to tell them they're going to hell and that they're evil people and that if they don't change their ways, God is going to hate them enough to send them to hell? Well, that's what you hear being told. What do I tell the world? One of the things that I tell the world is this: for God so loved you. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's something I'm supposed to tell the world. Another thing that I'm supposed to tell the world, Paul talks about in Corinthians. He said, we have been reconciled to God, and we have been given the ministry of reconciliation, that we go and tell the world, be reconciled to God. Take the sacrifice that Jesus made and apply it to your life and reconcile yourself with God. Do you know there is nowhere in the message that we're to tell the world, nowhere in the message that we're to tell the world that God hates them? There's no place in there that we're to tell the world that God hates them because of what they're doing. He hates what they're doing. He hates the power that's come against them. Now let me give you an example here. You know, we look at someone and they're pro-abortion. And we get all uptight about them, and they're a terrible person, and they're gonna suffer the consequences of this terrible activity that they're involved in. And we look at people that are homosexual, and we say, you know, the God hates them, and that it's against nature, and all the things that we say, and put them in a category that just, you know, makes them low-level existence. We have the same opinion about pedophiles. We have the same opinion about abusers. People that abuse their spouse or abuse their children or whatever. We have all of this. We see these things in such a dismal view. And it angers us. See what I mean? I have no idea why it's wanting to do that. But we have all of these different situations. And then we have an individual that's part of the community, and he's not an alcoholic, he's not on drugs, he's a good moral man, He's a good businessman. He's a friend of the community. And he's just a nice guy. And we say of him, he's a good guy. Really, the only thing that he needs is just to accept Jesus. He's a good guy. He just needs Jesus. If you're in need of Jesus, it doesn't make any difference whether you're a good guy or a pedophile or a homosexual or an abortionist or a murderer or whatever. The only problem with them is they just need Jesus. Amen. And that's what we need to tell them. That's what we need to tell them. See if you can mute anything back there, Barbara. Stop that. So when we talk to the world, when we tell the world something, we need to tell them something that gives them hope. You know, to tell somebody, you're the ugliest person I've ever seen. And they're ugly. I mean, they are. But you tell them that, what kind of hope does that give them? You say, well, you don't want to lie. No, you don't have to lie. You can just tell them, look, I've got some suggestions to help you look better. You want to look better? I know some things you need to do. I sure would like to look better because I know I'm ugly. You know. And there's people out there in the world that know they're in a problem. They know they have things wrong with them. They don't have to be repeatedly told and told and told. They want to know that there's something they can do about it. Hallelujah. I'm going to see if I can do something about this. If that'll help or not, but we'll see. And so when it comes to the idea of telling, we have a message to tell the world. And that is, Jesus loves you. He died for you. God has made all the provision for you to be reconciled to Him. You do not have to live like you're living. You do not have to endure what you're enduring. We need to get our message to the world straight. When Jesus was approached and the rulers brought the woman taken in adultery, and they brought her and they said, now, what are we going to do with this woman? She was caught in adultery, in the very act of adultery. The law says to stone her. What do you say? Should we stone her? Why would they ask Jesus that question? Why would they ask Jesus that question if they hadn't already come to a conclusion in their mind that something about what Jesus was telling was different than what they were believing? We believe and we have been taught that if a woman's caught in adultery, you stone her to death. But Jesus doesn't seem to have that opinion, and we're going to find out why. And when they ask him, you know, the scripture says he wrote in the sand. I can't help but believe that he probably started writing some of the other commandments that he knew in his spirit that some of the ones that brought her there were having problems with. And then he said this, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And then he waited. And they all left. And he said, woman, where are your accusers? Well, they're gone. And then Jesus didn't look at her and say, you know you're a terrible woman. You know that you don't have any decency at all to be doing something like this. Weren't you raised right? Didn't they teach you anything when you were growing up? What kind of family are you from? They must be really a bunch of heathens for you to end up like this. Now, isn't that common things that people say all the time about people? But what did he tell her? He said, the accusers are gone. Neither do I condemn you. He said, now if you want some advice, don't go do it anymore. Because you know what's going to happen if you do it again? You're going to end up in this same situation. He didn't talk to her as a bad person. He talked to her as somebody that needed hope. We need to talk to the world not as bad people, but as people that need hope. Comes back to what Laverne said this morning about compassion. You know, if witnessing to the world is just considered a duty, you know, we could have a look. If y'all would straighten up, I wouldn't have to do so much witnessing. But what we do is we tell the world the truth. I tell you the truth. There's hope in Jesus Christ. God loves you, and He wants to change your life. It's all for you. Everything God has done, He's done it for your benefit. That's what you tell the world. Now, moving on, another area, another person that you're going to be responsible for telling something to is God. What do you tell God? When you talk to Him, what do you tell Him? You tell Him sometimes that He evidently don't know what He's doing, or you wouldn't be in the shape you're in. God, I don't understand you. Don't you know what I need? What do you tell God in order to get the maximum out of the situation? Do you say something of this nature? You are my rock and my fortress. You are my tower of strength. You are my help in the time of need. I can call upon you and you'll deliver me. And Lord, I glorify you. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're worthy to be praised. You are not, you're not just, it's not that you just have the answer. You are the answer. If I have a question, you are the answer. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are my hope. You are my victory. You are my Savior, my healer, my deliverer. Lord, you are all I need. You'll never leave me and you'll never forsake me. You'll never let me down. When the enemy comes in like a flood, you'll raise up a standard against him. You're on my side, Lord. You are my friend. You said you called me friend. Telling God that kind of thing always has a much better effect on you than telling God, you don't know what you're doing. Is this the best you can do? We put our hope in Him. But you're always telling God something. We're told in the Scripture to talk to God. We are told in the Scripture to talk to God. Pray without ceasing. What is prayer? Prayer. Prayer is just talking to God. So, when you talk to God, talk to Him right. Talk to Him truthfully. Tell God the truth. It's important that we learn how to talk to God. Learn how to tell God what we need to tell Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not any of His benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities and heals all of our diseases. By faith we understand that the worlds are framed by the Word of God. Whenever we tell these things to God, let's tell Him the right thing. Now another source that we're going to have to talk to, and we're going to have to tell something, is our adversary, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, the Antichrist, whatever you want to call him. He is our mortal enemy. He is really and truthfully the only enemy that we have. Everything that is designed to oppose us finds its root in him. What are we supposed to tell him?
Oh, devil, why would you leave me alone? Because it's just so bad what you're coming in here and doing. And y'all to be treated this way. And I don't know what's happening. And God, where are you?
That will mess you up. That will mess you up. What do you tell the devil? Devil, my God told me that I've been given power and authority over all the power of the enemy to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. Devil, I just want you to know that greater is he that's in me than you. See, that's who it is, he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Who's he that's in the world? It's talking about the devil. God's greater in me than the devil. You know what the Bible says, devil? If I resist you, you'll flee from me. That I've been delivered from every evil, and God's going to bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. I have power to cast you out. In the name of Jesus, I cast out devils. God's not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. You can't bring fear upon me because I don't have fear. I have God. Perfect love casts out fear. God loves me perfectly. There's no question about how much God loves me. And he will always love me. Now, devil, you need to take that and hold on to it. He'll come back and he'll try to change your mind. He'll try to get you to say something else. He'll try to get you to, in one sense of the word, glorify him. Every time we say in his presence, I don't know what I'm going to do, the devil says, that's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. You don't know what you're going to do. As long as I can keep you believing that you don't know what you're going to do, I can pretty much do to you whatever I want to. So it's important what you say to the devil. You know, one of the things that they say that you can protect yourself in the wilderness if you're accosted by a predator, you know, like a bear or something bigger. One of the things that will save your life, but more so than the opposite, is don't run. Now, what's the hardest thing in the world not to do? I mean, you know, unless, let's say a bear, big bear, unless a bear has had a taste of human flesh and he is a man killer, which there are not too many of them out there, they usually try to destroy them kind once they have had that kind of flesh, I mean, had that kind of experience. But if you were out in the woods and in the mountains and you ran into a grizzly, there'd be one thing that'd be true. He'd be as curious about you as you are about him. He wouldn't look at you and say, "Oh, there's a person. I'm going to eat him." Now, depending on how you conducted your affairs in front of him and how you treated him might determine whether or not you got out of there alive. And I'll tell you what, the worst thing you can do to the devil is to turn and run. When you turn and run, that sends out a smell of fear, and the enemy will come right on you. When you stand your ground in the trust in the Lord and in the confidence that you have in Jesus Christ, he think twice about what he's going to do next. So it's important that we tell the world the right thing. It's important that we tell God the right thing. It's important that we tell the devil the right thing. And most of all, it may be more important that you tell yourself the right thing. What do you tell yourself? In an everyday course of your life, what do you tell yourself during a day's period of time? What do you tell yourself during a week of activity? What do you tell yourself in a crisis situation? What do you say to yourself when things don't look that good? What do you say when you get up in the morning? You look in the mirror and you say, "Oh God, another day, and it'll be as bad as yesterday's." You look in the mirror and you say, "You know, I just wish I could do something right." What you're telling yourself? When you say, "I just wish I could do something right," you know what you're telling yourself? You're telling yourself you don't ever do anything right. You're telling yourself that you're beat before you start. When you tell yourself you can't, you're telling yourself you can't. What do you tell yourself? Self, I'm going to tell you the truth. Self, the first thing I'm going to tell you, that you are a creation of God and God doesn't make bad junk. That's right. God created me and knew me in the womb, and that means there's nothing inherently wrong with me. I may have some issues, but those issues can be resolved. Because, self, I tell you what the Word of God says, and that is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. self, I tell you that the Word of God says that I am more than a conqueror in all things. Self, I tell you that I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You want to know something else, self? In Him, you live and move and have your being. You want to know something else? You are one with Him. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Self, that's what you are. That's what I'm telling you. You know, you're tall enough to do anything you need to do. There's some people, you know, their whole life's ruined because they're not tall enough. Isn't it right? Some people, their whole life's ruined because they're too tall. I mean, you know. If you female, 6'2" will ruin your life, right? Jesus, it's just, you're just up there all by yourself. Nothing wrong with you at 6'2". You need to quit thinking that. 4'11". Nothing wrong with you there either. As long as you don't tell yourself that there is. And you need to believe this. There's nothing wrong with you because you're skinny. And there's nothing wrong with you because you're not skinny. There's some people, they're never going to be anything but skinny. And they want to put on weight, and for some reason or other they can't. And there are other people that want to be skinny, and it don't matter how much they starve themselves, they can't get down there to skinny. Now what you tell yourself is going to determine what kind of quality you have in your life. So don't tell yourself you're too something. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too short. I'm too tall. I'm too dumb. Do you know who it matters the most to tell you you're dumb? You. It don't matter what anybody else's opinion is. It doesn't matter how many people tell you you're dumb. It won't change you. It won't hurt you. It won't affect you until you start agreeing with them and you start telling yourself you're dumb. It's important. Very important. That we tell ourselves the truth. And I want you to understand this, telling yourself the truth is not just telling yourself how you feel. The thing that will lie to you worse than anything else is your feelings. They'll lie to you, they'll make you believe stuff that's so far away from the truth that you couldn't even see it if you were standing on the truth. You know how we feel about other people. How other people make us feel. You know, we have an opinion of how they think about us. What they, you know, what they're doing about us. There are people that are walking around now because somebody didn't talk to them. And they're walking around feeling like they're less than a person because somebody didn't say hi when they passed them. If they chose to just deliberately not say hi to you, don't let it bother you. But I want to be friends with them. Well, maybe they don't want to be friends with you, so find somebody else that you can be a mutual friend to. I mean, there's people in the world who don't like me. I mean, I see people through my course of life that don't like me. It's not like, you know, that I'm always never in the place where you are that you know they don't like you, but there's some people don't like what I stand for. There's people in the community that don't like the way I believe. But you know, that's their opinion. I have to answer myself. And I look at myself, and you see, Paul tells us to examine ourselves. And you see, I need to examine myself and to make sure that myself is lining up with what God says about me in the book. It's not my responsibility to examine myself and make what I believe about me line up with what somebody else thinks they believe. If I line up with what God says about me, then everybody else is immaterial. And it doesn't mean you don't want people to like you. It doesn't mean that you... But I mean, you know, there are just some people out here, you can't make them like you no matter what you do. But you know, we would be more like ourselves. And we would be more acceptable to ourselves. If we start telling ourselves the truth. Well, the truth is I'm dumb. No, the truth is not that you're dumb. But I can't do this. Do you need to do that? Well, but I'd like to do it. Well, then find a way to do it. Because if you want to do it, you can do it. You may not do it to the degree that somebody else does. But you can do it. Unless you tell yourself you can't. What about this? What if you tell yourself over and over and over, I just can't forgive them? I just can't forgive them. I just can't forgive them. Do you know what the end result is going to be on that issue? You're not going to forgive them. When you look at the Word of God, I can live at peace with all men. I can forgive. Forgive those who have trespassed against you. I can do it. I'm telling myself I can do it. I'm telling myself I can trust God. You see, what you tell yourself is what you got to figure out. But what I'm telling you this morning is the Word of God is the truth. Now let's follow this pattern. Jesus said, he prayed to God, he said, sanctify them by the truth. That means set them apart by the truth. And then he said, your Word is the truth. And you are what the Word of God says about you. You are not what you think about yourself. You are not what somebody else's opinion is of you. You are what the Word of God says you are if you're a child of God. That's what you are. Now, if you want to take the time and put forth the energy to make yourself believe that, then you're going to see the result of it in your life. But if you just want to flip-flop through, it's not going to help you that much. But tell yourself the truth, and the truth is what God says about you. No person can ever tell themselves the truth by saying that God doesn't love them. There's a lot of people that feel like God doesn't love them, and so they say, God doesn't, I just don't feel like God loves me. You're feeling a lie. Because the truth is, God loves you unconditionally. He might spank your behind to straighten you out, but he still loves you. It's important that we know what to tell who. So for a quick summary, talking to the world, don't tell them how bad they are and that God hates them. Tell them that God loves them. He's reconciled them to himself and he'll deliver them from all of the things that are destroying them. When it comes to talking to God, talk like you believe that God knows what he's doing. That he's God and you're not. And when he comes talking to the devil, talk to him like he's under your feet. Talk to him like he's defeated. Talk to him like you've got authority and power over him and you're not afraid of him. And when it comes to talking to yourself, just keep telling yourself what the Word of God says about you. I'm an heir. God wants me to prosper and be in health. All the things the Word of God says. Keep telling yourself that. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's stand.